So here's to all of the good thinkers, and here's to the lonely drinker. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Hello, folks. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and the host of the Crude Life Radio Podcast. I'd like to thank you folks for tuning in and listening here to The Crude Life, a place for expert interviews, full-length features, and special programs. I'd like to take this time to thank our fine sponsors. Folks, The Crude Life sponsors are quality companies who have ethics at the core and have proven to be positive leaders in their community. Please support our fantastic sponsors.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
So here's a riding shotgun with the Lone Ranger. Here's to making a few friends out of a few strangers. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Welcome back to The Crude Life. My name is Jason Spies. I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist, and I'll be your host for this very special interview. Today we talk with Dean Bresciani, president of North Dakota State University.
Picking flowers, and here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
Well, I'll lay the context out right now, because I've brought this up to Doug Goring, and he said theoretically this is true. The UAS ag industry is so precise, you can fly a small drone over a row of sunflowers. It will tell you which specific plant has the disease. It will then notify some four-wheeler remote control to come out and mist that specific plant. That's how precise we are getting in agriculture today. Now, odds are there might be more disease and everything else, but Ag Commissioner Goring said, no, that's the reality. Not the future. That's where we're at right now in theory.
Yeah.
I mean, how close are we to that actually
absolutely
being law that's okay?
And experimentally is certainly possible right
yes.
now. When it becomes widespread commercial application, which that is within reach. Absolutely within reach.
That's pretty incredible.
Really, the only thing that's holding the industry back from exponentially moving faster is the struggle that that we have with the aviation industry and government control of UAS, which understandably has moved faster than the federal government can keep up to it. So we have a lot of people out there who would be applying it right now, but can't proper licensure, so that creates a tension between the farmer or rancher that wants to utilize a technology that they already may have in their hands, and the FAA saying, no, you can't do that yet, you're not licensed. Well, how do I get licensed? Well, we don't have a procedure and process yet for
right.
you to get licensed. That's going to work itself out.
And that's happening right now in North Dakota, one of six test states.
Yeah.
So, and that's, and again, being ushered in through the military. I think a good way to explain to people what's going on in the UAS industry is, number one, compared to the microwave. Okay, the microwave came out of the military, and when it came out, they were big and clunky, and people really didn't understand them. But within 5 years, 60%, 70% of Americans had a microwave in their home.
Okay.
So if you understand how Moore's Law works, which is a computer or a technology philosophy, I guess, which is the size of a processor reduces in size by double every 18 months, and the speed increases double
exactly
every 18 months, So pretty soon microwaves will be as big as thumbtacks, you know, with that same theory. So with the UAS industry, you can see how ushering it in through ag, through NDSU, and ushering in through energy, which is going to be detecting pipeline spills and security and border security. I mean, NDSU is on the forefront of that. That's what I mean, to where it seems like all the roads are going to have to go through NDSU, whether they want to get to energy, ag, or technology.
Well, you can certainly make that argument, and it's interesting because there's a perception because of the national and worldwide reputation of the Aeronautics program at the University of North Dakota, that's where the UAS industry is located and will take place. And the reality is, why North Dakota, not Grand Forks, not the University of North Dakota, were identified as one of the six national test sites, is for the navigation and sense and avoid technologies that are being developed. Those are all being developed at NDSU. So you're correct in that our role is where the meat of that initiative is going to end up, and in fact is already taking place. Aperio Systems in the Research and Technology Park at North Dakota State already is, by a wide margin, the leader in the aerospace navigational technologies they're involved with. Their competitor is Garmin, who has about 10% of the market. Aperio owns the vast majority of it already. And by technologically is way ahead of Garmin. Garmin's struggling to even keep up that gap. That's the sort of thing that's happening at NDSU and is going to be the future of UAS. It's not about flying them. We already know how to fly them. It's about navigation and sense and avoid technology.
I call it where UND is developing the body and the navigation, but NDSU is the brains behind it.
Good way of framing it. And we're not going to try to get in their part, and I think it would be difficult for them to catch up, much less compete with us on ours. And that's the beauty of it being an initiative for the entire state. So you're taking two major research universities, taking their strengths and putting them together.
Mm-hmm. And what is being done on the application side, I guess, then? Because we're still in the test phases, but is there anybody using it on a field or, you know, anything like that? Any examples of how things are going?
Yeah, we're very actively piloting, no pun intended, and testing different systems and technologies with licensure and support from the federal government with all of the within the guidelines and stipulations of appropriate use. But I'd be naive to suggest that there aren't a lot of private citizens out there doing their own testing and application, not necessarily following guidelines, mm-hmm. but it's very challenging for them to see a solution to a problem, to literally have it in their hands, and to say, well, I'll wait till there's governmental regulation mm-hmm. and rules allowing me to put this thing up in the air. Or I may just flip the on switch right now and do it.
take my profession. I'm an independent content curator, essentially. I've won two national awards for my flood work. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, if another flood comes around, do you think a drone would be advantageous for my career?
Correct.
I was underneath a Black Hawk helicopter at Catherine, North Dakota, when they dropped a one-ton sandbag. Now, a drone could do that, or a UAS could do that for me, but I'd get arrested.
Correct.
And so I hear what you're saying, to where that could change my entire business model, my entire business plan.
Absolutely.
I could go into the Grand Canyon and get great photos, but then I wouldn't be the only one doing that, you know? Which leads me to my next question. The social responsibility behind this is going to be one of the biggest factors, one of the biggest PR challenges I think the UAS industry has, whether it's, you know, neighbors, privacy issues, or whatever it might be. Do you think that there will be a time where you have to get a license to own one or to navigate one, whether it's like a fishing license or a pilot license?
Yeah. That's going to be an interesting question, because I think they're going to become so ubiquitous. It's already probably too late to get our arms around that through a licensure manner. But at the same time, there was some point in American history where you didn't have to have a driver's license either. And everyone has a driver's license mm-hmm. now. So I think there's a tension between the practicality of catching up to an industry that's already ahead of government regulation. But there are certainly examples where that has happened in the past, and the advantages created by that a regularity or a consistency of systems, of training, of preparation, and frankly of responsibility when things don't go right. So I don't think we will see a lack of interest in state and federal governments controlling UAS development. The trick is going to be keeping that regulation caught up to UAS development and accepting the reality that citizens, as those UAS become more cost available and easier to use, that the average citizen, much less a person with an applied use of the UAS, is going to find them irresistible regardless of the regulations that do or don't exist.
That's why I haven't got one yet. I mean, you can go to a cell phone store and get one.
Oh, absolutely.
And like I said, for my industry, photographs are a commodity. So I can actually figure out a way to make money on it or have it be useful. And just even, I mean, I every time I drive by, I keep thinking about it. But I don't want to go into that gateway yet, if that makes sense, because the abuse is beyond belief. I mean, the temptation behind it on almost an anonymous level.
You can go on YouTube and pull up 100 videos of both people doing inappropriate things and people shooting down a UAS that was doing something inappropriate.
But that's happened with cell phones too.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's more about the user than it is the piece of equipment, you know, and that's...
Oh, yeah, you can't blame the technology. It's inert and non-sentient.
So getting back to the real positives behind it and the drive for this, you without a doubt think that this is an industry that's going to be solid in North Dakota?
Not only solid, growing exponentially, probably the fastest growing industry in the state. And it's because both we have the processes and capacities to develop that technology given to major research universities, but we also have the immediacy and availability of the application for agriculture, for oil, for transportation in a low-risk environment. We're not flying these over LA or New York or, you know, in any major urban area. We're a very rural state still with a relatively low risk of collision and other related accidents. Is it perfectly safe? No, don't hear me saying that. But relative to most other places, you know, unless we get into Nevada, Utah, and West Texas, North Dakota's right in there with those locations as viable, but you don't have the applied needs in those locations, whereas in North Dakota, we have the applied needs, and again, agriculture is the one that I hear most experts saying has the biggest worldwide immediate application potentials of UAS over virtually anything else, and it will far outdistance military applications today.
I bet you didn't think you were going to be talking about Moore's Law, did you?
No, but it's absolutely applicable.
And that was Dean Bresciani, president of North Dakota State University. To listen to other full-length interviews, original stories, or special features, visit thecrudelife.com. That's thecrudelife.com. And once again, I'd like to thank our fine sponsors. The Crude Life sponsors are quality companies who have ethics at the core and have proven to be positive leaders in their community. I'd like to ask you to please support our sponsors here at The Crude Life. My name is Jason Spies, and I'd like to thank you folks for joining us this week. Be safe and be happy.
And here's to the sound of one hand clapping, and here's to not letting this moment pass. And here's to carrying the weight of the world, and here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard, and here's to not letting this moment pass.